On this Here Sunday, we are about to talk work bestie drama, how to figure out why you're not getting interviews, and also how to make networking just a little bit less awkward. This is another episode of the Straight Shooter Recruiter podcast. And I'm so excited that you are hanging out with me here for a little bit. If it's your first time here, hi, my name is Emily Durham. I am the host and producer, because this is a one-woman show, of the Straight Shooter Recruiter. And I always like to start off by saying I am so excited that you are here, because the goal of this show is to help you thrive in your 9-to-5 and beyond. We talk everything from how to feel confident showing up in your life to, most importantly, how to make more moolah at work. And this is one of my favorite kinds of episodes because we're doing a questions segment. It's a questions episode. And I don't know what got in the water, but a lot of y'all have been saying, what would Emily do? You're signing all of your questions with it. So this is officially a WWED. What would Emily do? And that's exactly what we're going to talk about. So if you have questions, things that are really uncomfortable and yucky in your life, at work or otherwise and at school, click the link in the description of this episode, because I make sure that we answer your questions all the time. We answer them every single week here. We post every single Sunday. I'm extra energized because today I'm recording from my parents' place. And if you're a longtime listener, you know I started this podcast literally in my parents' bedroom with a really crappy mic that I bought off of Amazon and with a laptop. And that's it. That was like the whole shebang. And it has grown so much. We are a charting careers podcast. We are consistently in the top 10 and we have hundreds of thousands of listeners. Like, it is so cool. Anyways, feeling all kinds of nostalgic and mushy, but let me not get emotional on you and let me dive into the good stuff. Friendly reminder, if you are listening, it helps me so much when you leave a rating and a review and share that you're listening on social media. It takes 2 seconds, but that's how this show grows, so I can keep dropping those fire career tips so you and I can just become wealthy, healthy, and happy. All right. Are we ready? I think we have to. I feel like I'm in preacher mode. Let's head into it. Let's go for it. Oh, and also, if it's your first time listening, because I know we have a lot of new listeners, especially over the last month, I don't read these questions before I answer them. Like, I just kind of randomly peruse for certain keywords and then I'll read the question live. So all this is very on the spot. Okay, let's start off. Hey, Emily, longtime listener, first time writer. My work bestie and I have been working hand in hand for the last 3 years, but we only started being close friends outside of work in the past year. I love her and she's a real one, but sometimes I do feel a competitive streak between us because we're at the same level but in different departments. However, she's been working at our company for 1 year longer than I have. 2 years ago, I negotiated a big raise at this current company because of an external offer I had. And when she asked me about my salary, I was feeling some kind of way that I was making more than her at the time. Currently, we're making the same, but I'm hoping to ask for another big raise for my upcoming performance review. As much as I love her and value our friendship, I feel a little uncomfortable with the salary comparison that happens in the process. If I do happen to get this bump, I want to be honest with her, but I also don't want her to feel bad. What would Emily do? First of all, Emily's going to start off by saying, I'm so proud of you for advocating for yourself. Giving yourself permission to take up space and get compensated how you deserve is something I never want you to stop. I'm going to give you some tough love because I love you and I love how empathetic you are. Like, I can really feel your empathy for your friend as you're writing in. And just so you know, you advocating for yourself doesn't take away from the fact that you are a good friend. I would argue the fact that you're even thinking of this, you are a good friend by nature. So here's exactly what I would do. You are going to ask for that raise and baby, you're going to get it. I just have a feeling, you know, you've clearly got it down to a science. At the end of the day, I want you to remember this. The only thing that is in control in your life is your behavior and your actions. You are not responsible for the feelings of other people. You are responsible for making sure that you are valued in the work that you do and that you feel well compensated and appreciated. I also want to call out that with inflation, if you are not getting a raise, especially in the last 2 years, you are now underpaid. If you look at how expensive the cost of living is anywhere you live right now, anywhere in the world, if you are not getting a bump in salary, you are going to lose money. So you are doing the right thing. I want to validate you in that. I understand where you're coming from though, where it's like, listen, I love this girl. Like, this is my girl. I don't want to make you feel weird because I'm advocating for myself. What I would say is if it does come up in conversation, I would make sure that you have already gotten this raise in writing approved in your bank account. Do not open up the door to any risk for her to potentially maybe go ask for the same raise or say, you know, this person, like I'm going to pretend your name is like Susie got a raise, so I should be getting it too. You don't want to put yourself in that position. What I would say is like hook your friend up, get your raise locked down, get your salary locked down, and then go tell her, be like, hey girl, just wanted to let you know, I ended up going to the team. I asked for a raise. Like, I feel really good about it. I know we've been kind of on the same career trajectory. So I just want to be a real one and let you know, it's totally cool for you to go ask about your career and your goals and your salary. Basically, just give her a nudge to advocate for herself. But at the end of the day, the only thing in the locus of your control is you. And if she's not comfortable advocating for her salary, that will be reflected in how much she earns for the rest of her life. That's why it's so important to advocate for yourself and to take up that space. I know it's hard, but all you can do is be a good friend by letting her know that she should be advocating for herself and that you've had success. And maybe even offer, like, if you want some advice on how I did it, let me know. Like, be a friend in that you can push her to do the same. You also don't know, like, how she's performing. Like, maybe she's not performing at the same level as you, right? Like, there's a lot of different factors. And this might be a friend, but a real friend wants to see you succeed and will look at your success as inspiration, not as a threat. So be selfish at the end of the day. She's not going to pay your bills. And if she's paying your bills, slay. But if she's not paying your bills, you need to look out for yourself first and be empathetic and the wonderful person you are. And she will understand. And if she doesn't, you're dodging a bullet. Trust me. Dear Emily, I'd love to start networking more and reaching out to people on LinkedIn more effectively. I'm not awkward when speaking to people, but I find it hard to initiate a conversation online. Do you have any advice on what sort of things we could be saying? Is there a good structure for a LinkedIn message as a freelance job seeker? Thanks so much. Love the podcast. Ah, thank you. I love you too. Okay. You're killing it. I love that you're in your networking era, your networking mindset. That's the best thing you can do, especially in this job market. I'm telling you, like, I have a couple friends right now who are looking for work, and their biggest like benefits and the closest they've gotten to offers has actually been through networking, even after you apply for a job, reaching out to your network. First thing you need to do, rebrand networking. Networking as a concept is kind of old school and weird, and it feels stuffy. Don't be in the business of networking, be in the business of building real relationships. So identify people that you authentically want to learn from again and again and again. Networking doesn't work if you have these one-off conversations and then randomly ask for a referral one day. Like it just doesn't work because it feels inauthentic, and that's where it feels like stuffy and strange. But if you focus on people you want to learn from long term, that's when you reap the benefits and the rewards. So to answer your question on how to reach out, find people who have careers that you genuinely think are very cool. Like, wow, I never considered doing this, or you have my dream job. Reach out and say something as simple as this, and I'll use myself as an example. You know, hi, Emily, noticed that you have a successful career as a career coach and podcast host. I'm super passionate about that field. I'm, you know, currently a student at the University of Toronto, and I would love to connect to learn more about your career journey. Simple as that. People are much more likely to say yes when they think that all you want to do is learn from their experience. People are much less likely to say yes if you're immediately coming in hot asking for favors. A simple message, the goal is to get them on the phone for 15 minutes, and all you're going to do is ask questions. All you're going to do is learn and absorb from them. And then the next time you reach out, you can start asking for favors. But you need to build the relationship that is authentic and like real to you so that it doesn't feel as stuffy and strange. And that starts with that first message. So good luck. You're going to kill it. And just so you know, the podcast loves you back. Like it does. As a new graduate, should I accept a job that has low pay? What would Emily do? Emily, I'm going to be honest, what Emily today would do and what Emily actually did is not the same. It's not the same at all. It was bad. Okay, so without putting my former employer on blast, the first job that I took, guys, I was so underpaid. Like, if I wasn't living at my parents' place, I don't think I could have afforded like anything. I actually think if I factored in the cost of my commute, I made almost nothing. The reason I took the job was because it was at a big company. It was an industry I was interested in, and I looked at it as experience. And I'm very grateful I made that decision because that was the job that made me realize I loved talent acquisition and careers and helping people thrive in that work. what I'm going to say is that's not realistic for everyone. Like, I'm coming from a very immense place of privilege where I was able to live at home. My office was an hour commute from my parents' place. My parents were able to cook me dinner. Like, all of these expenses I didn't have to absorb. Like, and that is an immense privilege. What I want to say is I have two schools of thought. Number one is the bare minimum is a living wage. So figure out what you can realistically live off of in a comfortable way so that you're not concerned about where your next meal is coming from and you're not concerned about keeping the lights on. If you can live in a like comfortable way and it is a true living wage, it now comes down to a decision of what matters most. Sometimes it's okay to just take the first job that is presented so you can build up your experience. And then after a year or even 6 months, it gives you a little bit more of a launching point into your next job. However, if you're in a position where you're living at home or you have like flexibility with finances, it's okay to wait, but you need to make that decision based off of your financial situation and realize like tactically what the minimum you're willing to accept is. Best thing you can do, download a budgeting app or open up Excel and literally like parse this stuff out. Measure exactly how much you need to comfortably survive. You also need to think about your industry, because there's some industries, God bless recruiting and HR, but baby, this stuff, it's not going to pay great. It's HR. You're costing the business money. So you need to really think about like what's realistic in your industry. Are you getting underpaid because that's the industry, or underpaid because this company is sketchy? And you need to weigh how much the experience is going to matter for you. If you're really struggling to get a job or you just want to get your foot in the door, go for it. My personal opinion is experience, like work experience, is always going to be seen as more valuable from an employer's perspective. So the more experience you can get, the better, so long as you are straight up not being taken advantage of. And that's why you need to do that data to make sure you're not being, you know, worked into the ground. Dear Emily, how do I know if my cover letter or resume are actually good or are actually detractors? It's a very good question. And it's going to be hard to measure, because applying for a job with a perfect resume is no longer enough to get an interview. Let that sink in. That is the unfair reality of where the job market is. There is way more demand than there is supply. And we can thank a lot of these big, massive corporations who did big, even more massive layoffs that have now been one of the many contributing factors to the current job economy that we are seeing. So I think the hardest thing to do is to try to measure what your conversion rate is from your applications to interviews if you're not networking. So I would say step number one, if you're concerned that you're not getting interviews because of your resume, ask a friend or a mentor, that's why networking is so important, to take a look at your resume. See if they have feedback. Ask them if they genuinely understand the impact and the scale of the work that you have done based on your resume, because that's something that's really important. But if you're feeling like you're not getting the responses that you want from applying for jobs, I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, it's less to do with your resume, more to do with networking and not having people advocating for you at that given company. Because I have seen amazing people, like great resumes, applying for jobs. And it's like, okay, like your resume is great, but so-and-so got a referral, so the job is closed. Or we actually hired someone internally. So it may not be your resume. If you're concerned, ask a friend to take a peek at it. Even ask someone at like your current work. Like, it's normal to ask for these things. You can also pay for a service if you're keen on that. I don't personally offer services right now. I used to, but my 9-to-5 job is, she's busy right now. But anyways, all to say, it can sometimes be your resume and your cover letter, but I would say more often it's actually the fact that no one's even opening those because they're focused on the interpersonal relationships, which is really frustrating, to be honest with you. Can I just say, like, you know what kills me about this current job market? And I'm seeing this so much with people I speak to all the time, like my, you know, candidates, all of this good stuff, is a lot of companies right now are laying people off and then posting the same job a couple of weeks later, which, by the way, from like a legal perspective is very, very hazy. I've just seen a lot of companies do this. And basically what they're trying to do is take people out of the company that they hired in the pandemic who are more expensive at the time, because, you know, cost of like talent was a little bit pricier. There was a lot of factors that I won't bore you with on that. And now they're trying to get rid of those people and hire other people back cheaper. It's so unethical. Like, it is absolutely mind-boggling to me how some of these organizations operate. And that's why I actually talked about this in my YouTube video, I think last week, because I post on YouTube as well. But like, it is really difficult to love something that can't love you back, including your job. Like, when I see people get so emotionally attached to their jobs, and I do this a lot too, it breaks my heart, because we are not seen as people in the context of work. Your boss and your coworkers might love you, But the company that employs you sees you as a line item. The company that employs you doesn't see you as a full, robust person with a dog to pay for and a mortgage. Like it doesn't work like that. Your employer sees you as a number on a page, and the second that number no longer is convenient or no longer is aligned to what the business outcomes are, you're out. That's why it's so important to make sure you are constantly networking, always kind of thinking of like backup plans. Like, how can I pivot? God forbid this doesn't work out. Where would I go? Do I have a person to call? All of these things, because the market is so volatile, and this is the most anti-candidate market I've ever seen, ever in my life. And I've been doing this for quite some time. So if you're feeling stressed about stability in your job or stressed about looking for new work, over-index on building real relationships with people who advocate for you. Be very careful about the companies that you are spending some time with, right? And just keep your options open. Like, I'm a big believer in diversifying your income as much as possible. If one thing falls through, at least you have a backup to keep the lights on. I can definitely make an episode if y'all want on like side hustles and how to diversify your income, but just something to think about, right? Like, I always want to emphasize that you need to prioritize yourself and don't think these companies will ever prioritize you, because they will not. And I see it all the time, which is like super upsetting. But to be a little bit less negative, there's some good things happening in the job market. Like, I am starting to see lower volume of layoffs in the last, like, I would say month or so. So like, that's somewhat seeming to settle down. I do get a little bit worried about the impacts of this potential TikTok ban in Canada, both from a small business perspective, but also large businesses, right? Like, so many companies rely on TikTok as a core means of advertising. What does that mean for those employees who work in that side of the business? Like, and it's not just the social media coordinators, it's the analytics teams, it's marketing, it's finance. Like, that impacts everybody, which is very daunting. And then there's people like me. Like, part of my business is on TikTok. I get a little bit scared that if that app goes away, like, that is a stream of revenue for me. So it's just, it's interesting how quickly things change. It's why it's so important not to index all, like, don't put all of your eggs in one basket. It's just, man, life is hard. I always see these TikToks where it's like, I don't know if y'all have seen these, where it's like these two otters or like two animals just like laying in the beach. And someone's like, yeah, in another life, this was us. Honestly, I kind of love that for me. Like, I would love a life where you're just chilling on the beach, you know, but we're here, we're working, we heart capitalism. It was so funny. I was speaking to one of my friends at work, and she was like, for someone who talks about career, she's like, I feel like you hate the notion of capitalism and the notion of working, but that's why my page exists. Like, I don't want you to feel like you have to fall in love with your job. You might really like it, but you don't have to be in love, eating, breathing, and sleeping for this gig. You have to be doing all of those things for you, and your work can be part of that, sure, but like, it can't be everything. And I think when I see people giving career advice where they're like, here's how you, you know, you find a job you love, you're never going to need to work another day in your life. Really? What's your job? Like, what are you doing? I love my work. I really do. I really love what I do. It is still a job. And that mindset is so important to make sure you're actually having that division. And we all have emotional days. Like, I do, trust me. I have work cries all the time. I'm very emotional when it comes to like work. And like, I care a lot about my candidates and the work I do. But you have to remind yourself that, like, at the end of the day, this is all a business. Treat yourself like a business. Do not be too loyal to one thing for too long. Damn, that was such a tangent. Oh, I love Sundays. I live for Sundays. Thank y'all so much for hanging out with me. I had such a good time. Again, like, I live, breathe, sleep, eat, die, ride for you. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out with me. Thank you for supporting the show for 4 years. I don't even have words. I'm so grateful. I absolutely adore you. I just feel so blessed and so lucky. I hope this is helpful. I will always ride for you. I'll always have your back. I love you to the moon and back. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you on Sunday. And if you want more content from me until next Sunday, I'm posting on YouTube quite regularly. Obviously, I'm on TikTok and Instagram. Go check me out there. And if you're in the mood to read, I write for Canadian Business Magazine. So that is always an option. Okay.